The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 348. And what an awesome guest I've got for a Tuesday evening. I think it's Tuesday, but one half of the cheeky little buggers and the current Rick's Catch women's champion over in France, of course, but more importantly, one of the very best pros in the UK in 2024, Alexis Falcon. How are you doing? And welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm good, thank you. You?
Yeah, very good. Delighted to have you on the show. Like I said to you off air secretly, you've been on my bucket list of guests for a couple of years now. But finally, we've made it work and we are live. We are live across YouTube, Twitch, X and Facebook. If you're watching and you want to get in touch and you want to send a question in for Alexis Falcon, then please do so. Send them through to us using your chosen device and we'll do our very best over the course of the next hour and 15, however long we go, to answer every single question to the I Am Queen, of course. But just a quick reminder before we take a deep dive with Alexis and some of my recent guests, and February's been a bit of a stacked month for Wrestling with Jonas. We started the month with Jay Joshua. Go and check that one out on any audio platform or over on YouTube, of course. Last week was a busy week. I had Scotty Rourke on the show and Heidi Katrina drops back onto the show about 2 years after we last spoke to Heidi, 24 hours after she became the very first Slam Wrestling Finland women's champion. Great catching up with Heidi again. A few days ago, last Thursday, as a matter of fact, we had Michael Magilati, the CEO of Slam Wrestling in Finland, on the show, otherwise known as the world famous, the legendary Starbuck, of course. And my next live interview after Alexis Falcon is next Thursday, the 29th. I've got the guys from United Wrestling joining me. And as I mentioned on previous episodes, my first interview of March has already been announced. And on the 4th of March, I've got none other than Eddie Dennis joining me live on Wrestling with Jonas. All the interviews live, but of course, today it's all about this young lady here. And I've got a quick shout out to Elliot93 for some of those awesome thumbnails. Thank you so much, Elliot. But 2024, Alexis, has already started with a bit of a bang. You've also already become the Rick's Catch Women's Champion. And started 2024 in awesome fashion. I think your match was last month, just a few weeks ago, against Kira Chimera, the very first Rick's Catch Women's Champion, of course. You managed to take the championship of you. There's that spectacular one himself, Crowley by your side, and there you are with the title held aloft at the end of that match. But not a bad way to start the year. Like I say, not only becoming the Rick's Catch Women's Champion, but your first ever international title.
Yeah, not a bad way to start the year at all, really, is it?
No.
Yeah, I'd wrestled Kira at Rick's when they first brought the belt in. So we were the two finalists. So to kind of go back and kind of get the redemption there was real nice. And to have the faith put in me that, you know, to be an international champion and represent somebody's company that is based overseas. And they're based in France as well. And as much as the fans might not like me, I do love the country. Not so much the people who go to the Rick's shows. They're not very nice to me. But yeah, it's an honour being a champion in France. It's a country that I absolutely love. I think it's beautiful and I'm there all the time. So it's only right, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mentioned just a moment ago, and you alluded to it there, but your first ever international title, your first ever international championship over in France. Does it feel any different or any more special being a title outside of your home country?
It feels different, definitely. It definitely feels like more so that there's more faith kind of in you. Like with international bookings, it's obviously a lot harder with like the travel and trying to make the dates work and things like that. So the fact that, you know, that faith's kind of put in you to be the face of somebody's company, especially when you're not even from there, it's a real nice feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to bring up one more picture from that match. And I want you to explain what is going on in this picture here, Alexis. And I mean, I don't know whether it's a light tube or whatever. I mean, I showed a previous picture. I think it's this one here, actually. And you look a little bit cut up underneath your arm there. But what is going on in this picture in your match with Kira?
Yeah, it was a light tube. So there was one like hidden next to the comms desk. And we made the grave mistake of going and fighting on the stage near the comms desk. And didn't go well in my favour because I ended up getting smashed over the back of the head with a light tube. And it did cut me open a little bit. I didn't actually realise how badly at first because, like, my gear, like, covers all my back. But obviously, like, gear is just, like, thin spandex. Yeah. So where I knew that there was, like, cuts on my arms and stuff, I was like, well, that makes sense because my arms was out. And then as I took, like, my gear off when I got backstage, there was, like, quite a few more cuts on my back. But they weren't that bad. But, yeah, it was a light tube. Not pleasant. Wouldn't recommend.
No, definitely not. No,
even worse when you put your hand in it.
Absolutely. I went to a TNT show a couple of years back and there was some crazy death match to close out the show. I stood well back, didn't want to get anywhere near it, but rather you than me. And I know that you only made your first venture outside of the UK, I think towards the end of 2022, to Vienna, and then a couple of times in Germany last year, and then of course more recently for Rick's Catch over in France 2023-2024. So you're obviously getting a bit of a bug for traveling outside the country, going to different countries. You also seem like you're enjoying kind of traveling abroad and working internationally as well.
Yeah, I do absolutely love working internationally. Like, some of the best stories that you have with people in wrestling are from bookings that you did internationally. It was Vienna that I started, and that was arguably one of, like, the worst but best times that I've ever had. Like, we were in the weirdest little place, and everywhere in Austria it's, like, closed at 10. Like, nothing's open after. It's not like in the UK where, like, shops are 24 hours or takeaways are open or, like, little corner shops are open or anything like that. So everywhere was closed and we were just like wandering. Me, Lucy Sky and Lucia Lee were like wandering the streets of Vienna trying to find somewhere with food. And I thought, I was like, oh, I don't know if international bookings are for me. Like, I was starving that day and I'm hungry when I don't get food. Yeah, it's just amazing. Like, feeling like you're flying and being like, I'm actually going to work. Like, it's a real good feeling. Like, it just feels cool. I have been enjoying it and definitely got the bug for it now. It was definitely last year that it all kind of took off for me internationally.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about another international booking a little bit later on, but switching back to 2023 now, and I think it was the 16th of December, yourself and Crowley went over there against the Dogs Bollocks. I mentioned Scotty earlier, was my guest last week, Scotty Rourke, Kira Chimera. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if you know this, but I think that this was the very first intergender match of any kind in Rick's Catch history, let alone an intergender tag match. And you guys had an absolute barnstormer. What do you remember about that one?
I loved that match. You are right. It was the first ever intergender match in Rick's history. It was just so much fun. Like, obviously, Crowley shocked the fans at the beginning. He was super loved in Rick's. On the other hand, I was not. And obviously, his loyalty is with me. So he came and sided with me to take on Kira. And it was just fun. Like, I enjoyed the story that we told. I enjoyed the fact that it very much felt like we were making history by going out there and doing that. And I'm not sure how often that is really done in France, definitely never done in Rick's. So I just feel like it opens the doors for so many more opportunities now, especially where intergender wrestling is concerned, for people at Rick's and people in France. Hopefully other companies kind of follow suit with that. It was just a lot of fun. Like, I absolutely loved that tag match. Like, it was just solid from start to finish. Hard hitting, just a good match.
Yeah, and I know you got some highlights on your socials, which I urge people to go and check out. And we'll talk more about Alexis's socials a bit later on. A crazy match, really. Some great sequences, some awesome action. And I want to talk more about intergender wrestling a little bit later on. But sticking with 2024, and one of my guests in January, I had Nightshade. Nightshade knows all about working internationally all over the world, doing some wonderful things in Japan in particular. And she won this year's Multiverse Rumble in Pro Wrestling Eve as the partially cited lampshade there. She told me in our interview that she could barely see. She don't know how she won, but she could barely see. And there was, you know, other individuals in there like ZZ the Shark. There were some Baywatch lifeguards. I think we had Theresa May and a whole host, The Mask, a Right to Censor, which was comprised of Session Moth, believe it or not, and Nina Samuels. But there was also Mario and Luigi. And look at this picture here.
You've done me dirty there.
No, not at all. You look great. You look like you're having a time of your life. Now, I know at last year's Multiverse Rumble, you came out as Peter Kay, didn't you? And you kind of danced around the ring in a conga style to show me the way to Amarillo, which was absolutely hilarious. I was watching it live. But this year, yourself and Lizzie went out there as Mario and Luigi. You look like you had a ton of fun. Tell us about the idea behind the characters this year.
So obviously after last year, I was like, how am I going to top that? How am I going to top that? And since the Peter Kay thing, I've obviously moved into the tag division at Eve. So I've been working mainly for the last 6-8 months with Lizzie. So me and Lizzie, we knew we were at the show. We knew that everybody at the show was going to be in the Multiverse Rumble. And I was trying to think of all kinds of costumes. And I messaged her and I was like, we're doing Mario and Luigi. And she was like, you can fuck off. I'm not doing that. And I was like, we're doing that. And she was like, no, you're having me on here. Anyway, so I ordered the costumes. And I knew she'd be fuming. But then we tried them on backstage. And I just thought it'd be really funny. I was like, Mario's popular after the new Mario film came out in the middle of last year. And everybody knows it. It's a fun, easy thing that people can kind of instantly recognize. I do know that Peter Kay was a little bit niche, but I thought that I pulled it off okay. But this time I wanted something a bit less niche. I nearly did Mr. Bean, but I thought that, again, I was like, I don't know if people will get it. Very nearly did Dean Windass, but a lot of Eve's fans are based in the States or Japan. So even Dan was like, I'm not sure if that'll translate with everybody, to be honest. So Dean Windass was off the table. So that's why I ended up doing Mario and Luigi. And in the end, Lizzie loved it, to be fair. Like, she might have been fuming at me at the time, but I swear to God, that was the funniest part of the whole night. Like,
look at that.
She put the costume on backstage and she was like, are you messing with me? And then everybody told us that we looked brilliant. So I was like, see, everybody's telling us that we look brilliant. Like, come off it. And then by the time I got back, she was like, I'm so glad that I did that. My costume was too big for me though. I ordered the wrong size.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But a lot of fun. And I'm sure you're already thinking of your costume or your characters for the 2025 one, aren't you?
Yeah. Honestly, like, I just always want to do something stupid.
Let me ask you, and I know I said off air that I wouldn't ask you any Disney related questions, but if you were to choose a Disney inspired character to go as next year or the year after for the Eve Multiverse Rumble, would you have a favourite?
Ursula.
It's got to be, isn't it?
It's absolutely got to be. And then I was like, how can I come out in like a big, massive Ursula costume?
You got all the tentacles and everything. How are you going to do that?
Like, I've seen the big costumes that you can get. Like, they're huge. So I think I'd want to do Ursula, but mainly because I think that fits kind of who I am there, outside of the Multiverse Rumble. But I wouldn't be opposed to doing a Disney character. It is something I thought about.
There you go. Watch your space. But something curious. I mean, doing my research on you, Alexis, I noticed that you only had your first match for Pro Wrestling Eve just as kind of the doors reopened 2021. So we're talking like late summertime 2021. But fast forward to 2022 and 2023, I'm sure you'll agree with me. Those 2 years were your busiest years in your career so far in the wrestling business, 2022 and 2023. But coincidentally, despite only having made your debut the year before, you probably wrestled the most amount of matches combined for Pro Wrestling Eve between those 2 years. I mean, you really kind of started off slowly, then were off to the races the subsequent 2 years, 2022 and 2023. So you've become a real hit there, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's so much fun working at Eve as well. Like the women there, like I remember when I wanted to get on Eve before the pandemic, and I was just like, oh, there's no chance I'll get on Eve. And then I shot my shot, I didn't hear anything back. And then I thought, oh, I'm just going to do it again, because I heard that there was a Rumble. And Dan had put up a Facebook status saying, like, women's wrestlers, reach out. And I was like, I'm just going to drop him a little message. And it kind of took off from there. Like, I faced Miyuki Takasi there, which was one of, if not my favourite match that I've ever had in EVE. And another one of my favourites there was against Kanji. So I'm, like, consistently being put against people that are testing me there, which has definitely helped me improve as a performer.
Yeah, absolutely. But the other bit of research I kind of came across was that I don't know if you've even had any sort of title match or championship storyline yet with Pro Wrestling Eve. So, and now that you're with Lizzie, now I want to get your kind of tag team name right here. It's the just remind me, it's the what's your tag team name?
Wrecking Crew.
That's such a funny name, such an awesome name. But now you're the M62 Wrecking Crew, and you've obviously got the Royal Aces as their tag champions at the moment. You kind of, you know, got one eye on the gold and one eye on towards Jetta and Charlie Morgan.
I'm not sure what we've got coming up for us at Eve. Right now we're just having fun. In terms of like the tag name, for example, like that was literally just us two like pissing about. Like he was like, you need a tag name. And we were like, well, what can we call ourselves? Obviously, I'm from Hull. She's from Liverpool. And like the M62 connects Hull to Liverpool. So it was Sam Bailey that helped me come up with that name. And I was like, that's money. And I thought that they'd be like, no, you're not using that name. That's so stupid. And then they were like, that's actually really funny. You can have that. So that's how that started. But yeah, we haven't had any shots at the championship. No. I've never had a shot at the championship. I think Lizzie's had one when Miyu was champ. But yeah, I don't know what's in our future for Eve.
There we go.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Absolutely. Now, I think a lot of people's highlight of yours, certainly from last year, will have been this here. The Clock Strikes Midnight match. I think it was day 3 of Super Strong Style last year. I was there, absolutely enjoyed the hell out of it. One of my favorite matches, one of the best matches of 2023, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as many of your fans are concerned. And I think, you know, the story leading into it, the feud you had with Nina, the build, the promos, the videos that all led to that extraordinary match. We did have a question that came in about it before we went live. From Ashley Clements, a big fan of yours. Whose idea was the Clock Strikes Midnight match, as it was his live match of the year for 2023? So high praise from Ashley, saying it's his live match of the year from 2023. But his question is, who came up with the idea?
It actually was me. So with the help of one of the creative guys, Al from Progress. So how it kind of all started was I said I was so sick of doing the rock chick coming out as the gimmick at Progress. And the problem was that at Progress, that's why people liked me. And I was just like, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to be what I want to be and what I still feel like I'm evolving into now without and still keep the fans kind of on side, because like this is a girl that they've got behind and it's just not me. Like it really isn't me. And you know, we were spitballing ideas, and the idea of a Disney princess inspired match was something that was really good. And I watched I know it is a heel match, but the only one that was ever done that is even remotely similar, but it's still nowhere near the same, was the do you remember when Regal did that match where like they'd win, I think it was like via a roll up, and then the woman would come on the mic and be like, oh, it's in the rules, you can't win via a roll up. And then
I know which one you're on about. I
can't specifically remember the exact match, but I just remember seeing that and being like, that's a cool concept. And then I was like, what if it was like at random intervals and we were spitballing so many ideas, like, is it going to be something to do with like maybe an apple, like a Snow White style of gimmick? Is it going to be something like with the Cinderella and the clock strikes midnight? And then I was like, clock strikes midnight. That's it. That's the one. I'm not going to lie, it was an extremely, extremely difficult match to prepare for on both sides of the curtain. It was an ad match to produce for the people who work at Progress. It was a hard match to do. But it was, I would probably say that was my favourite match that I had last year by a country mile. And it just felt like the start of like, I know comfortably that the Progress fans are behind me and not behind the gear I come out in or the hair colour that I have or whether I do this on my entrance or whether I wave like a princess. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. I absolutely loved that match. And Nina was fantastic in it as well. She took some crazy bumps. Bless her.
Let's just bring up some pictures from that match because it was crazy. And of course, everybody remembers the glass slipper spot. And I don't know about a clock strikes midnight match. It looked like something out of a Halloween show, to be honest with you, without the blood there. But the match was crazy. The stipulations were crazy. It started with just a simple one-on-one match, didn't it? Pinfall wins. And then obviously just as you're about to get the pinfall, the clock strikes midnight, the stipulation changes to a submission match, so on and so forth. That picture there is absolutely awesome.
That's one of my favorite pictures that's ever been took of me in wrestling. I ended up in hospital.
No way.
I had to go to A&E because my head would not stop bleeding. I'd come backstage, I got cleaned up, and as soon as I would like put my head down to put my like gear in my bag or my suitcase or anything, or like bend over to tie my shoes, like my head would just start bleeding again. So the paramedic was like, you need to go to hospital. And big up Crowley because he stayed with me the entire time, made sure that I had all my favorite snacks and drinks and everything like that. So it came at a price, the cut on my forehead and the glass slipper, because I ended up staying an extra night in London that I didn't want to.
Absolutely. Wow, look at that.
Yeah, there's... brutal, isn't it? I'm pretty sure Nina wore those shoes for her wedding day, by the way. Honest to God, because after it, she was like, these are actually beautiful. I might wear them for my wedding. So I'm pretty sure she did.
Well, let's hope she wiped all the blood off first, hey? But, there's also footage out there of Nina taking a sick bump off of the top turnbuckle through a table on the outside. And as you can tell with these pictures, I think with that's certainly Lego in the ring. But was there thumbtacks or some other sharp objects in there? What sort of toys were you playing with that afternoon?
Yeah, there was a big, that wooden clock thing that I hit her over the back with. That was real heavy, by the way. I don't know where that was from, but it was so heavy. Like, I felt like I was picking up like a 12 kilogram weight. I was like, what is this? There was Lego, there was thumbtacks, kennel sticks, a bin, tables, chairs. She just sabooed the chair at me as well. I ended up with a big lump on my head like Quasimodo from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Honest to God, I had this humongous lump on my head the next day. It's the worst I've ever looked. And my hair was greasy because they'd glued it and I couldn't wash my hair for like 5 days. So I paid a price for that match and all the toys that we used in it.
Absolutely. And like I say, I was there. I think I might have been working merch that day for Progress. But the atmosphere, I don't think anybody really knew what to expect from the match going into it. In fact, everybody was very confused. I did the Progress hype show. Yeah, no, this is it. And I did the Progress hype show with Mike Angus leading into Super Strong Style, and we couldn't really tell much about it. Now, the kind of really cool thing about it was the single show that really sold Super Strong Style for a long time. That single match, it was advertised months before Super Strong Style, and off the strength of that one match, they pretty much sold out Strong Style before they even started announcing any other matches, didn't they?
Yeah, we were so grateful as well to Progress. Like, I remember when one of the guys told us, there was like, by the way, you're the first announcement for Strong Style. And it didn't even like register in my brain, because I was like, oh, well, they must mean the first match announced for Strong Style, because surely they've got like 16 people to announce and other matches as well on top of that, like tag matches. So he must mean we're the first match to be announced. But no, we were the first thing announced. Yeah. For Strong Style. And it was announced like months and months and months in advance as well. Like, it wasn't just like the show before.
Yeah.
So that was real cool.
It was indeed. It was indeed. A question that came through before we went live from Darren. Now, he enjoyed the Clock Strikes Midnight match with Dina Samuels last year in Progress. What was it like competing in that type of match? Which I think you may have already answered, but he did have a second part. Will there be another Clock Strikes Midnight match in the near future? And if so, with whom? So I think that the Clock Strikes Midnight match could be classed as your signature match now. So you can kind of take this around with you. But if there was another Clock Strikes Midnight match with yourself, possibly in Progress, who would you like to get in there with?
So it's difficult to answer that one, to be honest, because obviously now I'm with Crowley in Progress, yeah. And the cheeky little buggers are now part of the Progress roster as a duo and a tag. So it would have to be some sort of tag match, but there's not really been anything big happen yet that I think would justify it, because it's just as brutal on me as it is on my opponents. But I do want that kind of to be my match now, because I know that there's not one like it ever. Like you say, the only one that's really even similar is that one with Regal.
Sure.
And it's just not that quite the same. So I think if anyone did one now, I would be like, oi, hang on 1 minute. That's mine right there. Don't be robbing that off me. But yeah, I'm not sure who it would be yet, but hopefully it would be part of a tag match.
Absolutely.
I can't see it going any other way, really, considering I'm not allowed to wrestle for the women's championship.
You need to trademark and copyright that match stipulations so that nobody else can take it or take it as theirs. That's what I say.
I'm going to, but they're that stressful, to be honest, that anybody that even wanted to rob it, I think I might even just, if they do, I would be fuming, but I'd be like, go on then, try it and see if you want to do it again. Like, try it.
Absolutely. And a few people that are watching us live at home, watching us live via X, Joe, saying it was an absolutely fantastic match. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
We got to Progress Wrestling watching us. Ooh.
Ooh.
Here we go.
We're getting no ideas, Progress.
Got Sam Bailey watching us. Strong main character vibes. Yeah, absolutely. The timings on that match. Strange that the clock would strike just as you're about to get a submission or similar. But there we go. Sam knows all about that. Thank you, Sam.
Big up Sam, because he really, really helped me going into that match. And after, he was brilliant and one of the people who was making sure I was okay when I ended up in the hospital. So, and he was absolutely, like, I could not have done that match without Sam's help. So big up Sam Bailey there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We love Sam on this show. And I want to talk a bit about intergender wrestling. We touched on it earlier with your foray in France with Ricks and the Dog's Bollocks in December, of course. I know that obviously yourself and Crowley, the cheeky little buggers, but I've seen you perform kind of more recently for United Wrestling out of the Tap Social Movement in Oxford, an awesome promotion, like I say, doing some wonderful things out of that fantastic venue. But when you talk about intergender tag teams, obviously we talk about, you know, the cheeky little buggers. We talk about Odyssey, you know, Adonis Payne and Artemis. We talk about Lana Austin and Rob Drake. Scotty Rourke and Kira Kamira, the Dogs Bollocks. And I'm sure there's other intergender tag teams. But it's really become quite prevalent in a lot of promotions now, in a lot of groups, intergender wrestling and intergender tag team matches. Obviously, you've got a match coming up in progress this coming Sunday against G-Money and a mystery partner, whoever that might be. What's your kind of general thoughts on intergender wrestling? Because it is becoming a bit more popular, but some groups are still staying away from it. But I think that when it works and when it's done really well, it's absolutely the best thing on the card.
I absolutely agree. I think that it is such a shame that there are still kind of promotions, and it's more like the family friendly ones. And I do see why people may be like, oh, it's family friendly, we don't really want to do it. But when it's done well and when it's done right, yeah, and when it means something as well, and even in that match with Simon Quest and Memes at United that you've just mentioned, like that was done at a family-friendly promotion. And like, to me, I just think that little girls will see that and be like, wow, she's cool. Like, she can knock down these guys that are 6'6", you know? And I just think that it's a cool thing to be a part of. The tricky thing is, being part of a intergender tag is we don't want to be seen as an intergender tag. We're a tag team. We train like a tag team.
Yeah.
And we want to wrestle that way. So I can't speak on behalf of all the other kind of tag teams like the Odyssey and the Dogs Bollocks and things like that. But like, we don't want to be seen as, we don't want that to be our main attraction. We're two stars in our own right that are forming a tag team. We're training like a tag team. We're doing promos as a tag team. So that's something that's kind of important to me and to us. And obviously, like, we will work to the size. Like, Crowley's much bigger than me. But in the same as, like, any tag team, like, you look at Lycos Gym, like, for a while... maybe not so much now. Lycos 2 is putting on some size.
Yeah.
But like Lycos 2 is the smaller one. It's with every tag team, you've got somebody that's maybe smaller, you know? I'm just not, like, we just don't want to be seen as like just an intergender tag team. We don't want that as our, like, slogan.
I think if you were to ask the Odyssey and if you were to ask the Dogs Bollocks, they would say exactly the same thing. In fact, the Odyssey were a tremendous tag team champions in United. I think they won about 9 or 10 defences before they lost them to the Dogs Bollocks a couple of months ago, and UBW as well. But it's funny that you mentioned Simon Quest and Memes, because you did headline their last show of the year in the main event for Simon Quest's United Championship. And I've got a few pictures from that, some awesome pictures from Y2 Grey. Shout out to Y2 Grey. But the reason why I wanted to mention this is because obviously you're in there. And like I say, I don't quite know how tall you are, maybe 5'5".
5'3".
And then you've got Simon Quest in there, who's easily 6'5", if not taller. Same for Memes, who's 6'5", or taller. So you're in there with these big guys. We just spoke about kind of intergender matches. The size difference was noticeable when those are two big hulking guys in there. What was that like? And like I say, it was a triple threat match for the championship. I was there. I saw it. Hell of a lot of fun. But what was it like being in there throwing those two around?
I wouldn't say I threw them two around. I don't know where the clip is. It was a fan that posted it. But there is a clip of me going absolutely flying off a shoulder. And I mean flying off a shoulder tackle. I've taken many shoulder tackles in my 7 years now of being a professional wrestler. Never one quite like that. I literally sat up and I was like, Jesus Christ, not wind out of me. But it was so much fun. And like, that's the first time I've ever worked in any capacity with Simon. That was the first time I actually met him, I think. And he was lovely.
Yeah.
Memes was annoying as per usual.
Of course, that's standard. Yeah.
Yeah. Memes was memes. but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you're back there again soon, aren't you? And I've got a picture, and we mentioned the Odyssey, and I think you've got a tag match against Artemis very, very soon. And we did have somebody get in touch. In fact, they sent a question through X just before we went live, Dan Williams. And he says that you are one of the most consistently brilliant wrestlers in the country. I echo that all day long. Can you ask Alexis, after two defeats in a row at United, what's the plan to change this time as she faces Artemis in the number one contenders battle? So I think he's referring to this match here, which has taken place the 10th of March. Flip the script. And I think that's day 14 for United Wrestling. But Artemis, very, very powerful, very, very strong. I know that you faced her in tag matches before, but any thoughts ahead of that one?
Artemis has been a tag team wrestler a lot longer than I have. And I've been a singles wrestler for a lot longer than she has. So I think that my experience in singles matches may be her downfall there, maybe. But two losses in a row is difficult. I might have to go in with a change of attitude, to be honest. I'm not sure yet. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if there's a championship opportunity there, then both of us are going to want to be grabbing it. And I'm sure that she'll test me, and I want her to. And I want to test her as well.
Yeah. And I promised earlier that we'll talk a bit more about the cheeky little buggers. And let's do so now, because I know that yourself and Crowley had a very interesting feud in the second half of 2022. You had some matches. I think the first match went to a DQ. The second match, which I saw in Cardiff at the Tram Shed, where Crowley kind of ate one of your fake eyelashes, didn't he? Which was absolutely gross. It really was. I couldn't watch it. He was just so gross. And he was so happy with himself as well when he did that. And then, of course, you had the dog collar match. Oh, sorry, I'm skipping ahead a bit too much here. The dog collar match. And some of these pictures here are pretty, pretty violent. And I think you're bleeding again there. Wow. Oh, but I think this was a picture from the Tram Shed. Tell us a little bit about your kind of storied rivalry with Crowley, because it all ended, of course, when you sided with him and aided him when he cashed in the Ignition briefcase or after winning the Ignition Rumble and cashed in on Leon Slater to become the TNT World Champion. Talk a little bit more about your partnership since then. But some of those matches were quite interesting.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. the matches, they tested me. They really, really tested me. And his brain works in such a different creative way to what mine does. And I'll never forget, he said to me once, outside of wrestling, he went, "I just see you as just a wrestler." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he was like, "You're solid, you're good, but like, what sets you apart?" And he was like, "And I just think that you could be something that would set you apart. Because at the moment, you're just a moves wrestler. You do the moves, you fire up, you're done. Great." And I'll never forget. And I was fuming. I was like, "I can't believe she said this to me." But that lit a fire under my ass like nothing else. Like, of any trainer that has been horrible to me, not naming names, but the first trainer I ever had, of everything that anyone could have ever said to me, of any feedback I've been given, any, you know, mistakes I've made that have been pointed out to me, that lit a fire under my ass like nothing else. And it was at that point where I was like, right, okay, the switch is going to flip now. And I'll always be grateful for him to that. But the matches themselves were so much fun. The first one was just after his EastEnders stint. I think EastEnders was actually playing on the night that, because he was in like two episodes. Yeah. He was actually playing on the night of the match. So that was fun because we had a little bit of fun with the announcer with that. But the Tram Shed match where I ate my eyelash. I don't get grossed out by a lot of things, as you can probably tell, given our latest stuff. But even that, I was like, because I wear long lashes as well. And I don't know how we didn't chirp, but they definitely tested me. they tested me in a creative way. They made me think about wrestling differently rather than just how I was thinking about it when I was a moved wrestler. And yeah, they were a lot of fun, and we had real good chemistry in the ring as well. That by the end of it, we were literally like, we should tag.
Yeah, 100%. And there's some pictures with him as the TNT world champion, with you as the TNT women's champion. We talk about that. Look at that picture. Crap, what a twat. What an absolute twat. But there we go. That's a better one there.
That's a nice one.
There we go. But the thing is, I don't know whether I had Crowley on the show almost 2 years to the day today. So 2022 February, and he kind of alluded to, he started talking shit about you and talking about you not really a Disney fan and this, that, and the other. Thinking, well, what's he picking on Alexis for, you know? And then a few months down the line, there you are, you're kind of beating the living hell out of one another.
He's the best storyteller in this game.
Well, there you go. There you go. Absolutely. He is. And I won't argue against it. I know the man very well. You mentioned it earlier on. I mean, I think that obviously working with Crowley, team with Crowley, has brought out this different character, this larger than life, this almost comedic kind of side to you. And going back to your feud with Nina, and I think that probably brought out more of a vulnerable side to you as well, certainly kind of before the match and in the lead up to the match and some of the things she was doing to you. But I'd say that this story, this partnership with Crowley, has definitely brought out a more comedic side. And I mean, just some stills here from some of your promos. Now, in your wrestling gear, a January afternoon on the beach, that must have been absolutely freezing. And then you got Fleecy Boy in the background there, kind of down in the dumps. And then more recently, that one there, where kind of a bit of a breezy afternoon, or a windy afternoon, I should say, for yourself. Maybe some food poisoning, I don't know. But who comes up with these ideas? I know you're going to say Crowley, but they are just hilarious all day long.
I can't take credit. A lot of very large... 95% of the ideas are his. I'll have like a few little inputs and I'll say something and there'll be somewhere it'll be like, that's gold, we'll do that. But they're yet to come, those ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has tested me in a way that, like I said, nobody else has. He lit that fire under my ass when he told me I was just a moves wrestler. He tested me in our matches physically when we wrestled each other. He still does it now. Like, he believes in me more than anybody else believes in me. And I truly believe that he wants me to be the best version of myself, even outside of the wrestling. Like, he's helped me a lot with the amount of weight that I've lost and that I plan to lose. Like, he just, he helps me with my promos if I need them. He's just always like a real good, like, I can't speak highly of him enough. And it's so difficult for me to even try and put it into words, but it's just me. I just always feel so comfortable as well, like, because we're such good friends outside of wrestling. Yeah. Like, we speak every single day. And I just know that whenever, if I'm ever in a tag with him, that if I get lost or I feel like I don't know what I'm doing or I'm second guessing myself or I'm nervous before we go out, I'll just look at him and he'll be doing something stupid, like smacking his lips together and sticking his tongue out or licking his fingers. And I'll be like, I'm fine. Like, I'm literally fine. But yeah, he's the absolute best. And I would not want to be in a tag team with anybody else. I think a lot of people do see his value. But my God, I think the sky is the absolute limit for him.
Oh, and for yourself as well. And I think the other thing that's happened over the last year or two is, and certainly now going into 2024, is I think you're having the most fun you've ever had in your wrestling career.
I really am. I really, really am.
In the ring, doing promos, everything, the whole package.
100%. 100%. And it's just so fun as well. Like, we'll do the promos and they're just such a laugh. They don't even feel like, you know, sometimes you get told, oh, can you do this promo for me? And it's like, oh, I've got to cut a promo. I don't want to do it. How am I going to find the time or anything like that? But like with those promos, like, I'm so hyped to do him because his brain just works in such a weird way.
Yeah.
that I'm like, how do you think of that? Like, he'll tell me this ridiculous idea, and I'll just be like, are you serious? And he's like, my cameraman's booked for next Wednesday. And I'm like, so yeah, the way his cogs turn, the way his brain works, is just so fascinating to me. Yeah. And it's so much fun to be a part of.
Absolutely. And I want to take you back a few months to Halloween, because I know both Progress and United in October, you had some fun with some Halloween costumes, didn't you? There you are, both as Chucky, and I love this picture there. Absolutely awesome. I'm assuming you did all the makeup for that look?
Yes, I did.
Absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, when we saw each other at United, both as Pennywise from It, and that's a cool picture coming down the stairs there at the Tap Social Movement. Oh, look, and there we go. Crowley even convinced you to do a backstage interview with me. But yeah. I love all of that. And like I say, very, very creative and a lot of fun. And adds a little bit of a new element, a new dynamic to your game when you have them sort of matches.
Halloween is my vibe. If I could celebrate Halloween all year round, I absolutely would. I love like dressing up for Halloween. I love horror movies. Everything pumpkin spice, I'm so basic. But I absolutely love it, and I was like, I want to dress up, and he was game for it as well. So I did our makeup. So I do bring some skills to the table in this tag team, because I did both of our makeups on those days.
Absolutely. Looks absolutely awesome. Really, really awesome. And
he was a better tricky than me, though, because he's got the hair for it.
But you pulled it off absolutely fantastically. And I want to ask you, I mentioned earlier about your recent forays abroad and wrestling for Ricks over in France. And you've got another foreign venture to look forward to just, I think, maybe 6 or 7 weeks down the road, off to Philadelphia with Progress, part of the GCW Collective, Friday the 5th. So the day before day one of WrestleMania 40, of course, Penn's Landing caterers over in Philadelphia, and Progress hits the States once more. In fact, the cheeky little buggers hits the States once more. And I looking back through your record books, I don't think you've performed over in America. So not only are you going out to Philadelphia WrestleMania weekend with Progress, but performing for the first time over in the States alongside Crowley, that's going to be a blast, isn't it?
I think I speak on behalf of everybody at Progress who has been fortunate enough to be taken to the States, that we are so, so grateful. I just didn't even think it would happen. Like, and you know what? I didn't even tell my parents, right? Because it just didn't even occur to me that it was a real thing. Like, and then I had to ask my mum and dad if they would look after the cats while I was going. And I was like, they said, well, where are you off now? And I said, oh, Philadelphia. And they were like, why didn't you tell us? And I was like, because it's only just occurred to me that it's really happening. Like, it was on that phone call to my mum and dad that I was like, shit, I'm going to Philadelphia. Like, it's not just me going to Disneyland for a few days. Like, I'm literally going to America to wrestle. Like, that is insane. To be doing it as part of the tag and the cheeky little buggers, that's just so much fun to me. I just cannot wait. I absolutely cannot wait. I think it's going to be so fun. There's a real good group of people going. So to be flying all the way to America and sharing that journey with some of my best mates and representing Progress while we're out there is just amazing. And Progress have been brilliant with the whole, like, visa process and getting that all sorted. So yeah, I'm so hyped for it. So hyped. Not everyone can say that they're going to get this opportunity. And it doesn't go kind of unnoticed or like forgotten about. I think it's absolutely huge.
Yeah. And I'm assuming if it's like previous years with the Wrestle Tours lot, you'll probably be watching Mania as well.
I have no idea.
Oh. Fingers crossed. You'll be even if you just drop into a local bar, just watch it on the screen there, or I'm sure you'll find a way.
Being in Philadelphia, like around WrestleMania weekends, just huge anyway, isn't it? Like the weekend when WWE came to the UK at that Cardiff show that you were referring to earlier, like that just felt so huge. Like I can't imagine that times 1,000. with all the wrestling that's going to be going on, all the shows that are going to be going on, and just everybody kind of in one area who is a wrestling fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing cooler than that as somebody that grew up watching this. I just think that's hyped. If you'd have told me 10 years ago that this would be happening, I would have been like, it's not. Do you know what I mean? I think that's why I just kind of didn't even really, like, believe it. Like, we got the email and I was like, whoa. And then I was like, that's real cool. But I bet something will happen, I won't be able to go. Like, I bet, like, work's in her or something like that. Like, I can't
ignore
get
work. Just go anyway. Just,
oh, you know, I would have been. I was like, something will happen. Something will happen. I won't be able to go. And then when I kind of realised, I was like, actually, it's been approved off work. Probably should get somebody to look after the cats now. That's when it just hit me. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going to Philadelphia to go wrestle. That's huge. So, yeah.
Alex, just we got a problem with the stream. We got no, we haven't. It's just Crowley. Crowley's watching live at home, and yeah, I said we had a problem. We do. It's him. He's just spamming. And there you go. Hey, Falcon, looking fit, mate. So yes, thank you,
Mr. Thanks, lad.
Crowley, it's been a long time, but there we go. And again, give me attention, give me attention. There we go. Thank you, Crowley. Keep watching. Keep sending your comments. Not too many, though. Eh? Let other people have a chance. Let other people have a chance. God, what's he like? Eh? What's he like? Now, I mentioned before we went live that there was a couple of people that are kind of intertwined with your journey, intertwined with your career. And in my opinion, I think you've probably wrestled them the most out of anybody through your 7 years. And that would be Lana Austin and Lizzie Evo. But I think with Lana, you probably had your first encounters with her at Future Shock, possibly over the Future Shock Women's Championship. But all the way through and possibly even Progress of the Peckham era as well. And more recently, the Electric Ballroom, one or two other places. But Lana's one of those that, I mean, she is easily one of the top performers in the UK alongside yourself. And when you're in there with Lana, you know you're going to get a good match. You know you're going to get a hard-hitting match. But tell us a little bit about your journey with Lana and your kind of wrestling relationship with Lana, because she's been there with you pretty much since day one, hasn't she?
She really has, to be fair. Like, apart from doing maybe like two or three outside bookings for like a couple of outside shows in my early years, like Future Shock was the first kind of outside booking that I was getting that was using me kind of like consistently, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that started with Lana. And at the time, I literally remember that, like, Lana probably won't rate that match very much. I was so new back then. But at the time, I remember being like, that's the best match I've ever had in my entire career. And then I'd go on to wrestle Lana a few years later and I'd be, again, being like, that's one of the best matches I've ever had. And it's like every single time I seem to wrestle Lana, I come out saying the same thing. And every time we wrestle each other, especially in the last year or two, everyone we've come back from, we've been like, that was our favourite. And then we'll come back up to the next one and be like, that was our favourite. Like, we just seem to top it every single time. And yeah, she tests me as well. She's another one, especially early days. I remember being like, oh my God, I'm out of my depth here. But I love wrestling Lana. One of my, I have so many favourite matches, it's impossible to pick just one. But if I had to, like, pick a top 10, I can guarantee that Lana would be in half of them. So, yeah, I absolutely love wrestling her. I think we have the best in-ring chemistry. We just kind of just get it. Everything just seems to work. We can have things sorted in, like, 10 minutes, and it's just so, so easy. And even the times where we're like, oh, I remember in Germany and Crowley actually said that was one of the best women's matches I've ever seen. And for me and Lana, we were just a bit like, oh, we'll just do like an easy match kind of today. And we got backstage and Crowley was like, it was the best match I've ever seen, women's match I've ever seen. And we were like, really? Like, so everyone enjoys watching us. I know that I can tell a good story with Lana. And yeah, she's a phenomenal person outside of the ring as well. So always a pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I'm slightly distracted because Crowley is kind of having conversations with other people that are watching, and he's being an absolute nuisance. But thank you, everybody, that sent me questions.
I can't see these comments.
No, you're better off not.
Am I better off not reading?
And let's switch it to Lizzie, because another one that's kind of, you know, been an important part of your career, an important part of your journey. I think many people would say that she's probably your greatest rival. I know that you're tagging together in EVE at the moment, the M62 Wrecking Crew, which, once again, I love the name of that team. But I mean, certainly in TNT and over the TNT Women's Championship, the two of you went to war so many times. Tell us a bit about Lizzie and your kind of storied rivalry and now friendship with her. But let's focus on the rivalry, I suppose.
I'd never actually wrestled Lizzie, apart from in this like weird tag match at Mr. Cat's Wrestling before COVID. So I didn't really like we'd never really wrestled. And then we were supposed to have a match, and then COVID, like when TNT was going to run a show, but then like lockdown happened again. So the match got cancelled. I think the match was originally meant to happen in 2020 before lockdown. And then lockdown happened, then it got cancelled again. We were like, we're never going to wrestle each other. Like, this is never going to happen. And then when we finally did, it just felt weirdly so hyped, even though there was no story behind it. The story was literally COVID has cancelled this match. And I remember the first match and just being like, wow, that was a banger, that. And then every match we seem to have would just get better and better and better and better and better. But sometimes when you first wrestle someone, you can kind of tell that it's your first time wrestling them. But that felt like we'd wrestled each other 100 times. Like our timings for everything. And yeah, she truly makes me put the work in every time. And she says the same to me. She always goes, oh, you always make me do things. You test me. And I'm like, oh, well, I think you test me. So I think that's a good kind of person to have in the ring with you. I'm also feuding with her at NGW at the moment, which is classed as like my home promotion because they're in Hull. And I remember my mum saying to me when we had our first match at NGW, my mum was like, "Whoa, she's good. Like, you two work real well together." And my mum doesn't even understand wrestling. Do you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't even understand how it works. Like, she'll come and watch me at NGW and she'll be like, "Yay." And then she'll cheer for the other people that are from Hull. But everybody else, she's like, "I don't like them. They're not from Hull." So yeah, but even my mum was like, "My God, like you and that girl, like you knocked seven shades of shit out of each other. Do you not like each other? Are you okay?" And I was just like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And yeah, it's just mad. I absolutely love working with Lizzie, and I think she's one of the best females in the world, not just in the UK or Europe. I just think she's consistently solid, and I don't think I've ever seen a bad Lizzie match.
Yeah, and we're very lucky to have the roster of female talent we've got over here in the UK. I think it's the strongest it's ever been. We had Michael Baker get in touch with the show before we went live. And the best match that he's ever seen Alexis have was November 2021 in Liverpool for TNT and the 30-minute Iron Woman match with Lizzie Evo. So my question is, what is Alexis's favourite match of her career? Also, does she plan to debut for Bellatrix in Norwich? Because that's where he's from and he'd love to see you there. First of all, that 30-minute Iron Woman match, and I think that a lot of fans of yours would probably have that as their favourite match of yours against Lizzie in TNT for, was it November 21? A hell of a match. And I saw it back in preparation for this yesterday and absolutely loved it. It is available to watch on YouTube, by the way. Any memories of that match in particular?
That one was so weird. We like barely had any time before it, and knowing that you've kind of got to go out and do 30 minutes, because there'll be times where maybe you're given 20 minutes or you're not given a time and you'll go out and you'll do half an hour, it'll be an absolute breeze. But knowing that you have to hit 30 minutes, like 30 minutes wrestling is a really long time. Considering that most matches are 8 minutes, right? So yeah. 30 minutes is a really long time. Like, how are you going to keep a crowd invested for 30 minutes, you know? that was one of my favorite matches of my career. And I would actually love to run that back now, that I feel like me and Lizzie are 2 years on from that. And I feel like we've both grown hugely as performers, nearly 3 years on from that match now. I think we've both grown hugely as performers. So I'd actually love to run that back again.
100%.
My favourite match with Lizzie, though, actually isn't that match. So that is still in my top 10. I know that I can't come up with a top 10, but it would still be there. But my favourite match I had with Lizzie was the 2 out of 3 falls match in, again, for TNT. And I think that was the singles before the Iron Woman. I think there was a tag match after it. But me and Lizzie both watched that back, and it was like an out-of-body experience, because I don't remember it being like at the time I was like, yeah, that was a good match. And then I went and watched it back and I was like, we look sick here. Like, I was like, Lizzie, go watch this match back. She's watching it back. She's messaging me. She's like, I don't even feel like I'm watching myself. And I was like, neither do I, mate. Like, it was a full-on out-of-body experience watching that match back, because it was sick.
Oh, Crowley, what's he up to? He's back. He was playing with his Shrove hole over this podcast. I don't even know what a Shrove hole is.
I have fun.
It sounds like he did. He sounds like he's having too much fun. They're sticking with TNT, and you're the longest reigning women's champion in TNT history. And I'm going to correct myself, because you are the longest reigning champion in TNT history. 661 days, if I'm not mistaken. Love that picture. Love the crown. Love the way the championship looks over your shoulder. Not sure what's going on in that picture. Probably a Crowley influencer. But 661 days. That's, what's that? Nearly 2 years. A crazy amount of days. And like I say, a lot of history behind it, with you being the longest reigning champion in that, like I say, very well-respected company, TNT Extreme.
Yeah, TNT was actually the first indie show that I ever went and watched as a fan. I think it was like their first or second show that they ever ran. And when I was like kind of getting into wrestling again, like I moved to Liverpool. Obviously, I live in Liverpool now. So Liverpool's kind of like my adopted home. Even though I am a Yorkshire gal, so NGW does technically come first, as discussed. But yeah, so it was real cool to kind of even get on TNT in the first place. Like, never did I think that the outcome would be to be the longest reigning champion in TNT history. And I had some great matches with it, some great defenses, and the most fun that I had at TNT was from January last year up until the GCW weekend, where I lost it. That was the most fun that I ever had at TNT. With Crowley, obviously. So yeah. So it was an honor to be given that for so long, and to represent a company that's very special to me for that long.
Absolutely. And I'm going to bring up some more pictures here. And I think this was a point in 2020. Was this maybe last year or the year before, when you had three championships?
I feel like that'll have been 2022. Yeah, the end of 2022. Yeah.
We've got the Odyssey Women's Championship there, obviously the TNT Women's Championship, and the Resurgence Championship there as well. So bringing back some fond memories, like I say, probably getting close to a couple of years ago. But 3 bouts, Alexis.
And not since, though. Very sad.
Well, you are an international champion. That's something to be proud of, and many more to come for sure. Some more questions that came through before we went live. This is from, I think we've asked this one, haven't we, about United Wrestling and about Artemis. So one question I had for you. Now, you kind of really came onto my radar during the pandemic, remarkably, and it was for the behind closed doors, the No Fan shows for Progress, for the Peckham era, from the Peckham studios. Now, I don't think you performed for Progress before those kind of no fan shows, had you? So tell us a little bit about getting the invite to perform at those Peckham tapings, and what it was like, because you had some great matches. I think you had a bit of a rivalry going with Mercedes Blaze and Tonga. I think you had a couple of matches against Giselle Shaw for the championship as well, and one or two others. But I think you were involved in pretty much all the tapings during that time up until the live shows returned January 2022. What were those tapings like for yourself?
I actually have real fond memories of the tapings. When I first got I think it was like a phone call off a girl named Lucy who was working for Progress at the time. She was lovely. And she'd come to a Future Shock show that happened in front of barely any fans. It was like a show that was allowed to run in like the pandemic, but everyone was like spaced like so many 2 meters apart or however many it was. Everybody had to wear masks. Like the refs had to wear masks, and she'd watch me on that show. And then as a result, wanted me on Progress. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what? You came to the show with like 30 fans because of COVID, and now you want me? So yeah, I was real shocked and took back, but they handled it so professionally. In terms of all the lockdown and the restrictions and stuff like that. Giselle was somebody that I really enjoyed working with while I was there. That was a lot of fun. I have real fond memories of being back in the hotel rooms, kind of all of us getting food together. It would always be me, Kanji, Giselle, Crowley, Tonga, and Ollie from comms. And it was just lovely. Like, it was just a lovely little group. So I actually loved the Peckham era. It kind of felt like everybody in that kind of locker room was a real tight unit. And then when the live shows came back, and obviously the doors kind of opened up, and then international talent was getting booked and things like that, it was just kind of cool to be like, we were here during the pandemic. Like, it felt like we were the backbone of Progress while there was literally no wrestling going on and couldn't be going on. Cool.
Really, really cool, and thoroughly enjoyed all them tapings. I thought that everybody smashed it out of the park as far as the performances and the matches and what you're able to do with no fans. But I want to ask you one more question, and I'm going to bring up some of these pictures again. Your gear is absolutely awesome. You must be really proud of your gear. I mean, you're obviously sporting a crown there as well as the Iron Queen. But do you want to give a shout out to your gear maker? I don't know if you've used the same one for a while now, but one thing that really stands out about your entrance and your whole presentation is your gear. Absolutely love it all day long.
Thank you. So I normally use Empress or a girl called Brujadora, who's based in the States. And they just understand. I'll literally send them pictures of Disney things and be like, make this into gear. And I kind of design it myself, but then I just tell them, like, anything that you want to touch up, neaten up, or anything that you think will work, do it. And then I rhinestone it myself because I enjoy doing that, and I just like to rhinestone everything. That's why it's always so sparkly and over the top. They're the two people who I get to do my gear.
Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And well, let me ask you, final question. What, I mean, you've obviously had a wonderful 7-year career and, like I say, a ton of years ahead of you. But are there any kind of like proudest moments that really stand out to you? Maybe your top one or two proudest moments of your career so far? And obviously, you've had a cracking 2022 and 2023 and you kicked off 2024 in fine fashion over in France. But any really proud moments that really stand out for you to you for any particular reason?
Honestly, the getting a standing ovation after the Clock Strikes Midnight match, just being able to even pull that off.
Yeah.
And the reception that was received kind of backstage from people that I really care about, from it, that was something that really kind of stood out to me. Wrestling in front of my parents in my hometown is also something that stood out to me. I wanted to wrestle in GW for ages, and then they didn't really use women as well, like before COVID, like they did, but not as like often as they do now.
Yeah.
And I was so desperate to get on. I was like, I really want to wrestle at home, like I'd love that. So wrestling at Hull City Hall, where like if you're not from Hull, you won't get it, but like to wrestle at Hull City Hall is just, for me, I was like, this is the best thing in the world. That was real special to me. And honestly, just the last year of having so much fun with Crowley has been a real highlight of my entire career. I feel more myself than I ever have before. So that's also, I'd say, a huge highlight for me.
Absolutely. And Crowley sends through another message, but a bit more serious this time. In all seriousness, stupidly hardworking, more now than ever, an absolute star in the making. But enough about me. Alexis is great as well.
I
honestly thought for a second he was being genuine.
I did. I'm going to smack him when I see him.
God, Crowley. Unbelievable. What a twat. What a twat.
He is. I've sung his praises on this as well. Little rat.
Unbelievable. Right, that's enough. I'm not showing any more of his comments. But before we say goodbye, I've got your socials running along the bottom of the screen, your Instagram, your X, and your Big Cartel. I don't know if you want to kind of shout out to any of my listeners, viewers, where they can reach out, say hi, and learn more about Alexis Falcon.
I'm most active on Instagram and Twitter, which is just at Alexis Falcon. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's all running along the bottom of the screen. Your Big Cartel, we did speak about it briefly before we went live, but you do have some 8x10s, some T-shirts up available. I think you said the one in the middle is currently not available, having sold out.
But you do have some other swag. Two of the Queen of Hearts ones left, and that's our tag merch as well.
There we go. But Alexis Falcon, it's been absolutely awesome. I'd say a bucket list, a dream interview for me since I kind of first started seeing your work a few years ago. It's an honour and a privilege to have you on the show. But if you've got any final words to my viewers, to my listeners, to your fans and followers at home to sign us off this episode of Wrestling Majonas, do you have any final words from Alexis Falcon?
Just thank you for all the questions and that I'm happy to do this. I'm happy that you've had me. So thank you for that. And I'm excited to see what we do this year, and that I hope everybody follows along for the journey.
100%. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the ballroom alongside Crowley, the cheeky little buggers, against Gene Money and a mystery partner. Who's that going to be? We will have to find out. But thank you to everybody that's watched this episode. Thank you for your questions, your comments. Thank you, Crowley, for sending in all of yours as well. But Alexis Falcon, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you at the shows.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.